Last time on Wanderlust.
This might be a little odd. I understand this is not generally how these interactions might go for you, but understand I am speaking for my superior here.
Our home took a lot of damage from the storm that seems to surround your great strider, and we are wanting to find ways to keep that from happening again.
I do not understand why that is our problem. There is very little we can do about it, and...
I don't mean to be rude, but is there anyone higher than you that might know if if we're able to direct it at all?
You hear Maul laugh again, and she just goes, "Oh, that was... You shouldn't have said that.
Not getting any more painkillers."
I'm just gonna say, questioning their hierarchy is kind of a big deal. You'll see, I'm gonna back up now.
A desire for hierarchy means a desire to supplant him within our hierarchy. Good luck!
And starts to back up, and Teti goes,
"One of you may challenge him, if you wish."
Honestly, just noise is all I heard. There was no ascending, no down, just noise.
Got it. Dance, don't misstep, lots of noise. How hard can this be?
He leaps, and you can see, like, green, like this bright green hue, and the chittering on his face, like, or the chittering that he's making get a little bit more melodic, almost as if he's certain he's winning, and missteps, and one of his feet slides off the platform, and as that happens, you land next to him and manage to, like, get grip with your grapple glove and flip yourself onto the platform.
You just won! That was quite impressive!
If we could get the Builder Beetles to build a structure to get high enough up in the air that we could put one of Willow's speakers, then all we need to do, other than like hook it up and play it around the time we know it's coming by, is we would need to figure out how to mimic or create the kind of noise that a great strider would make to make the lost strider think that there's another one in the area around Smoky Banks to make it turn around.
Yes, let's do that.
But it doesn't have vocal cords.
How are we getting back to Smoky Banks?
Do we need to try to get back sooner? Because I saw a lot of flying bugs. We could see if we could ride a flying bug back to Smoky Banks.
All right, this is a bit of time on you guys. So where you're at right now, just to make sure everyone's aware of what's going on, y'all are still on board the Lost Great Strider. You know eventually it's going to make its circuitous route back to Smoky Banks because it does go in circuits and then eventually moves on and goes in circuits, which is how these things work, right? So you know that this is going to be a repetitive problem. Right now, it is probably on the order of a few weeks away, so it's not immediate. You all brought up ways of maybe trying to expedite how quickly you get back, so you could beat it back and try to do something to stop it from actually hitting the town again. Teti is technically now, like, a subordinate of Zach inside the Great Nymphic Order.
Is Teti the Lucy of this campaign?
It's Lucy's all the way down.
Am I like in this hierarchy now? Like, am I like under someone that I have to report to?
Those are questions you should ask to Teti. But at this point now, you're kind of free to try to handle that as you wish. There is a time crunch eventually, but it isn't in your face right now. There's going to be a few nights no matter what before you can get yourself back. So this is a little bit loose and montage-y of what do you want to do while you're here before you try to get back to Smoky Banks and how you want to do that.
I want to talk to Teti, apparently.
I think Juliet will want to talk to Maul about the other people that she's met.
Oh, okay.
Because she mentioned a couple times, like, other people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you haven't met other people and, like, other people have come to Smoky Banks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she wants to talk to her about that and also like run by like some of their discoveries from last arc, like just kind of pick her brain on what if she's run across the same things.
Okay. Fred or Estelle, any immediate concerns that you have, things you want to do in this kind of like interstitial time?
I think Estelle's big thing is that she is going to spend time documenting, because this is kind of on the weird line of observing animals, but they're also much more complicated than what she would normally study.
Yeah.
It's like anthropology, but also animal behavior.
Yeah, which is very, some of that is very much not her thing, but it's like, well, I'm going to take as many notes as I can and pass that along. And then I think she also, I don't know how to explain this because I don't think she has like a recording device, but I think she's like trying to listen to the sounds around her more to try and like maybe get an idea of what we want to mimic.
I like that idea.
Yeah, like how their vocal cords work, if there's different types.
Yep.
Well, and if there's like a specific, I mean, we know like purple, angry, but like trying to match like key and tone with what happens when they're angry. So I think she's spending a lot of time in like the market area, just like sitting and listening. And then when there's like fights, really paying attention.
I like that.
She has Autumn do fights all the time now to move up the ranks so she can study it.
Fred's running like a gambling ring based on Autumn's successes.
Fred, is there anything that you are... And this is one of those times, like, if the answer is no, you don't have... It's like no pressure. It's just, you know, an option. Is there anything you want to look at while you're around? Or is there anything you want to look at here?
So I think what Fred's going to start thinking about making those like model vocal cords that we talked about.
Oh, okay.
And I think what he wants to do is he wants to like examine that big like mural on the wall and see what he can find out of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
And then also maybe consult Juliet on any on the rubbings and stuff she took and any notes she might have, because she'll probably have better notes than he would.
Do we also need to figure out what sort of currency we want to give for flying bugs?
That should probably be something we're all considering. Yeah,
I don't have any good ideas. I just wanted to pose it to other people to come up with ideas. I don't know if Fred can craft cool things that they want.
I feel like anything cloth would be very significant to them.
I mean, it's entirely possible.
Same with anything like metal. Like, honestly, looking in my inventory, the first thing that I thought of was honestly handing them my water bottle.
Or like utensils. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have like a metal water bottle and I have cooking stuff that can be replaced.
Right.
Even if not super easily, but.
I have a towel I was thinking about giving them.
Okay. So we're going to do this fun thing where I roll a dice and see who goes first. All right. So I'll say that there is a little bit of time that passes here. Mull kind of shows you a area that she just kind of started living in. It's clearly sort of far and away from the main part of the city. It seems like a burrowed out area where builder beetles were living. And she just kind of, it sort of got abandoned. Nothing was in there. And she just sort of took up residence. So you can see there's like a lantern that's been set up there that's on, and you can see that she has like a bedroll laid out and some packs of stuff, you know, like her backpack and just like random little things here and there. But it's like a somewhat large area. So as a place for you guys to hang out and not necessarily be immediately in the way of other bugs that you might accidentally annoy, it's a place you can go. So after some time, Autumn, you find Teti because you are apparently having some questions about what just happened when you beat this other bug in a dance-off.
Hey, Teti.
Yes, yes. How may I help you?
So, am I
in the official bug hierarchy? Like, is there a bug in charge of me now?
The Great Nymphic Order, and yes.
Cool, cool. What happens if I... Well, they would just kill me probably now.
What? Why would they kill you?
I mean, if I didn't listen to what they said.
Yes, that is true, sort of. You might be, demoted at some point. Sometimes that is in the way of killing you, but other times it is in the way of offsetting your responsibilities and moving you outside of the hierarchy, which then generally is tantamount to death.
Okay, you know, that seems better because, you know, I like my head where it is, you know, on my shoulders. Kind of a nice place for it.
Yes.
And I'm not in charge of anyone other than you and your bugs?
That is a complicated question. The answer is sort of. You're not in charge of anyone else who can speak, or anyone else who will probably have as complex of ideas as I do, but that is where I can help. Within the Builder Beetles themselves, they are not all the same. There are ones that create more Builder Beetles, there are ones that find food, and there are ones that then actually do the building. All the structures we build are themselves complex colonies of specifically those insects. And those insects are then managed by other insects sort of like them.
And as he says this, you see, like, large builder beetles popping out of the ground that are clearly designed for building. And then you see other ones that are smaller and carrying food. You see these, like, tiny grubs crawling out and snaking their way out of the structure that might be being built in front of you.
Some of these serve as food, some of these serve as markers and communication for the builder beetles, and technically, you are in command of all of them, but I am going to guess that the minutia of that will be difficult for you to understand.
You would guess right, but that's what you're here for.
But that is where I come in. I am quite adept at it. In fact, I consider myself to be the best, but there are others that disagree. I am hoping to remove that disagreement by learning from all of you and taking what I can.
Well, that seems like a good plan. So there's nothing else. Is it a problem if we're not here for a long time?
Sort of. So it goes down in a hierarchy. You are the bottom of what you might call the facilitator hierarchy. So, commands come down, and you are responsible for commanding the process of learning as much about yourselves as possible. That is what my superior was trying to do. That is why he ordered me to do what he did. I made recommendations, he ignored them, and then I had him removed as my facilitator.
Right. I mean, if we have disagreements, Teti, you're not going to just try to get someone to bug dance me away, are you?
I absolutely would, yes.
Okay, good to know.
I would try that before I tried to, remove you by other means.
Okay, yeah, let's just be friends and know that sometimes we'll have disagreements, you know, but we're going to be friends and you don't need to remove me in any way.
That remains to be seen. You might be terrible at this. If you are, then I will find another.
I mean, I'm bringing you to the city. That's what you wanted.
It is, right now.
Cool.
I also wish to learn all about you, which I believe you will also help me facilitate.
Like, all about me or all about humans?
Sorry, the royal you. The plural you.
Cool.
All's yous. I believe maybe, though, an answer to one of your questions is, your charge as a facilitator in the Great Nymphic Order might change.
And if we're not here to receive that change?
You will be found.
Great, what have I gotten myself into?
You have gotten yourself into the Great Nymphic Order.
I knew that was coming.
It is an ancient civilization. You can see our histories mapped on these walls. We are the sect of the Great Lost Strider. You are now a smaller piece of a much larger society.
All right, and since the Great Strider's lost, will it, like, leave without you? Is that a concern for us, you?
Eventually, it might happen, but those things happen very slowly, and we will likely know before.
All right, good to know. I think that's all my questions for right now. Please don't kill me.
Why would I kill you? I still have much to learn about you.
again, not the most reassuring. Like, if I run out of information, are you good then? Am I just hitting the chopping block?
Do you not die eventually?
I mean, we do, but we don't... It seems more frowned upon. We don't look forward to our deaths in our society.
Do not look forward to my death, but it will happen.
I mean, yeah, it's gives us a lot of existential dread, and, like, we're just not, like, we don't have subordinates that we blow up. I mean, we do kind of eat the manatees, though.
Do you blow up? I blow up. Oh, you mean the beetles. Well, that is their purpose.
Yeah, I'm just worried, like, what happens, like, when, like, my purpose for you is done? Do you just get rid of me, then?
I would find a new facilitator if one could beat you in a competition. And I might encourage that.
Also, what happened to that other facilitator?
He is still a facilitator.
Just not of you anymore?
Just not of me.
But so who's he facilitating if I took over all of his rank?
No one yet, but he will likely try to find someone to outmaneuver. I see the confusion. He is a facilitator. That is what he is. But he might not be a very high-ranking facilitator.
Okay.
I am a luminary. I am a very high-ranking luminary. That is what I am.
So he's a different class of bug than you that's in charge of luminaries, I guess?
Among other things, but yes.
Okay. Think we're good. I don't think I have any other questions right now. Do you have any questions? I mean, about, like, what we're doing, about getting the bugs, going back. I know you have a lot of questions about society in general and how everything's going to work, but a little outside the scope of what we're dealing with right now. We'll get there soon.
I am concerned about one thing that you have brought up.
Go ahead.
You seem concerned that people will see me and be afraid.
You want to know, a big insect for us is the size of my fist.
I understand. But I also believe that what you're asking me to do is build a tower that is very tall, almost as tall as a great strider, that you can mount speakers to, that is also close to your town.
We're going to do a lot of damage control immediately and we're going to have a lot of conversations with a lot of people, I think, very quickly.
I am looking forward to learning more about conversation. Please include me.
We'll be happy to.
Fred, you said you were going to try to prototype, start like trying to prototype out some of these like vocal cords, correct?
Yes.
Make me some kind of investigation check to look at the walls.
Okay. Is there any chance I can drag Juliet with me and get a bonus for her, for the rubbings and stuff?
Definitely you can. She already did? Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's an aspect I can invoke.
I'll give that to you as an aspect, yeah, because she already did those.
Okay. I guess the role would be your ability to explain it to Fred, and not necessarily your ability, it's Fred's ability to understand what you're telling him.
So do I roll or no?
Yeah, go ahead and make a roll, yeah.
Oh, I rolled with drawing scientific sketches.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
That's a plus one.
Okay. So I will say that is not going to be enough to give you an aspect, but it also isn't useless. So go ahead and make your, like, investigating these things roll, Fred.
Okay. That is a zero. It's a wash.
So, and this was just, like, investigating what you see, right?
Yeah, my investigation is not very good.
So it is and it isn't good. Because this is one of those things where, like, sometimes the answer being negative is also learning something. Does that make sense?
Right.
So you're not able to, like, look at a picture and go, oh, this is what the vocal cords look like, and this is therefore what they must sound like. But also, there's kind of a reason for that, just based on what you're seeing on these walls. The great striders are actually not frequently seen, right? And definitely not sketched in a huge amount of detail. So trying to absolutely figure out what these should sound like based on these sketches is almost going to be, or based on the walls and the sketches that Juliet has, is almost going to be impossible, and you kind of know that, right?
So it'd be kind of like trying to make something the exact structure of a woolly mammoth tusk from a cave painting.
Right, right. It's like that's going to be near impossible to do, and you're kind of realizing that as you're looking through. But You do know that Estelle has pictures of what those vocal cords looked like.
Right.
And you can kind of guess at the function of them from that. So what you can do now is try to, like, make a roll to, like, maybe out of clay or whatever material you can find, like, try to make a loose structure of these and start getting a sense of what they might sound like.
Okay, so a crafting roll?
Yes.
Man, I'm not rolling well. That is a 4.
That's pretty good.
Okay, no, that's pretty good.
Well, I mean, but yeah, but my ability is plus 5.
Oh. Dang, okay, you did roll bad.
Tell me about it, Vinny. That's what I did the whole bug dance.
So you're able to make something that you think might approximate what this is, and you know the challenge that you have right now is one of materials, so, like, these don't create sound by blowing through them. Like, I say vocal cords because it's just, you know, what I could describe them as, right? So, like, our vocal cords work by pushing air over something and it vibrates, right? Is that about correct?
Yeah, I think so.
We make vibrations by pushing air over a muscle or an organ. These are just rubbed together. And so you can see, like, the way teeth, these, like, interlocking teeth fit together. And when you scrape them, you can feel, like, that a note vibration on them, you know? And again, then you think scaling up, you know, this is going to have a much deeper, more resonant sound the larger and larger and larger these things get. But, like, however much time you guys spend here in this bug city, just kind of waiting to either get, you know, one of those flying wasps to fly you back or just wait for it to carry you back, you can sit there and be, like, sort of fine tuning these and shaving the teeth a little bit better and getting them a little bit better. Maybe working with Teddy to have, you know, his tiny builder beetles make different versions of these. So it's like, you know, when you start 3D printing, you end up with, like, a box of broken 3D prints. Yeah, it's basically what you're doing. You just have tons of these things that you're, like, scraping together, trying to get good sound out of. Because, you know, eventually you're going to have to make something pretty, at least a little bit bigger than this, later on down the line.
Right.
Okay. Next roll. Juliet, I'll kind of let you decide how you want to approach this.
So I'm imagining, like, sometime over dinner or, like, after dinner, like, if we're eating together or, like, eating in a similar spot where Maul's set up.
Yeah.
Juliet is going to kind of go over with her journal and her pencil and start asking her questions. So, Maul, you were saying earlier that you'd met, it sounded like you'd met other people in the wilds. Who have you met?
I guess I asked if you had met other people, but, you know, I mean, look, you're not the only ones that decide to come out here, right? That's not that crazy. And like you said, you met a hermit in a cave, so it does happen from time to time that you might run into somebody.
Well, can you tell us about them? I'm fascinated by the idea that there's other people out here. I had always believed that it was kind of rare to have somebody go out here. Or if they were out here, they were they were cultists.
Oh.
Like the
Do you think I'm a cultist?
No. I just, like, that's the only people that I know of. The Ringus, you know the Ringus?
No, I actually don't know the Ringus. Oh. Never met a Ringist.
Maybe they don't have them in Smoky Banks. That's just as well. That's a good place for me to be.
Maybe they don't.
Yep, that is just a point in Smoky Banks' favor, I would say.
And before Maul is a Ringist.
Are you wanted by a cult?
No, decidedly the opposite of that, actually.
Wait, you got rejected by a cult?
No, I don't want to be part of the Ringist cult.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's the best possible option. Generally, I've found being in cults not great. It only leads to bad things.
Have you been in a cult?
I don't have to answer that.
Yes, you do, if you brought it up.
Well, why are you so confused about cults? This is a two-way street.
I told you what I know about cults, and you didn't know anything about the one that I was talking about. I want to know what the one you're talking about.
Okay, yes. At one point in my life, I kind of found out I was in a cult. Sometimes you don't know you're in a cult until after you're in a cult. And then you have to leave the cult.
Okay. Is that kind of a sore subject? I didn't mean to.
No, not really. So, okay. It wasn't like I was super young and I was stuck there and I couldn't leave. It was like, you know, I've traveled around a lot, found this nice place. I thought it was honestly kind of a similar situation to Smoky Banks. You know, you show up someplace new,
Everyone seems super nice. Everyone's super chill. And then, you know, you start going like, oh, you know, they're a little bit too uniform of thought, a little bit too smiling all the time. No one's ever upset. As much as Sheriff Mitchell's like a little bit of a, you know, you've met Sheriff Mitchell, but, you know, he is who he is. You can at least annoy him, right? So that I feel comfortable with knowing I can get under his skin. You know, when like you eventually start just trying to make someone mad and you can't. You know, you ever just like throw a bucket of water on someone and they're just like, oh, it's fine. Sometimes it's good to be damp. It's like, that's creepy, right? So I found myself in a town like that. They wanted me to stay. They had like a whole joining the collective ritual. And then I just kind of ran again. So no, it's fine. I don't think they're chasing. I don't really think they had the means to continue pursuing me after I just left.
Okay. I just didn't want to ask about a painful subject if that was the case, but I'm glad that it was.
That one's good. No, no.
So have you been to a lot of other settlements then?
Yeah, I mean a few, you know, I travel around a little bit. Right now, Smoky Banks just happens to be a convenient place to be, so I'm fine with it, you know?
Okay. Actually, can you take a look at these?
Mm-hmm.
And she pulls out of her journal the symbols from the mining computer terminal way back at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And shows them to her. Have you seen anything like this before?
So you pulled these off of a computer terminal?
Yes.
This was from where Fred got all the metal.
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then I think Juliet also got a bunch of, like, samples of something there, or was that somewhere else?
And that was the mystery metal, I think.
There were samples of all the stuff at the moon base lab.
I thought there was something else that Juliet got from here, but maybe not.
I think it was just the metal.
Okay.
So she would show her the symbols from the ore mining computer terminal and see what her reaction was, and then also show her the year-month structure from the lunar colony and any, like, symbols that she would have seen there. So you can answer those separately.
Yeah. I'll answer them together in a way. So you give her, like, all these pages, and she's looking at them and just goes, what do you think these are?
Well, like, obviously some sort of communication. What do you mean by that question?
So you found these out in the wild, right? Like, these aren't from Smoky Banks.
Right, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, and she kind of, like, looks quizzically at you and then just goes, so you know it's weird there, right? Like, it's not totally normal out. We're on a giant bug, you know? So, it's weird out in the wilds. You're picking up on that.
Yes, that's kind of why I keep coming back, though. Right.
Why are you asking me why I keep going back to the wilds?
No, sorry. That was more of a rhetorical question. I think that's what keeps me coming back. Why do you keep coming back, Mal?
She kind of smiles and goes, because I'm good at it.
Well, that's true.
I think singularly I am adaptable to a wide range of potentially hazardous situations. And I'm relatively comfortable fitting in to the unknown. Sometimes you find yourself in a Smoky Banks, and hey, it's a nice town full of nice people. Some of them make lists, but we can, you know, we can be okay with that. Sometimes you find yourself in a bug nest with, so far they haven't tried to kill me, and they're okay with me wearing their, like, old armor as armor. So, okay, you know, I can make that work too. Now I eat nutrient slugs, I will say. I miss the cooking at Smoky Banks.
I don't blame you on that, for sure. I can't wait to get back to Matthew.
But back to your original question, what do I know anything about these specifically? No, not these ones specifically, no, but I mean, I kind of know what they are, right? It seemed like some kind of computers doing on these ones like inventory control, and on the other ones it looked like some kind of intelligent mining operation, you know, like they had some kind of drones that could scan the earth, find certain materials, automated smelting, stuff like that, you know, nothing that crazy, I guess.
Okay. This is maybe going to sound weird, but everything's weird in the wilds, right? So it's fine. Have you found things from the moons?
anywhere?
Oh, you mean, like, have I found some of the moon rocks that fell to the earth? Yeah, I found one once.
No.
You can sell those for so much money. Okay, look, all of you guys are great. Do you know how much you guys pay for moon rocks? Like, just literally a rock that I said fell from the sky and was from the moon. So much.
How much?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know how much I got for it.
I don't think I do. No. No, I don't mean moon rocks, but more like moon tech.
Oh, you mean because this one says from like a lunar thing, right? Because like in your notes, you would have like recorded that it was like a lunar base or whatever.
Right.
Oh, she like kind of thinks back and goes, I don't know. I think that's the first lunar base that I've seen, but you know.
Wait, so were you there?
At the lunar base? No. Uh-uh. Well, not this one. No.
Oh. Well, what lunar base were you at? Is there another one?
No, I said I haven't ever. I've never seen a lunar base.
Roll some insight on that.
Right. Can I do that?
You can roll insight. Basically, at any point, if you think she's lying, you can try to make a roll. But I'm gonna continue lying.
Okay. Investigate.
Do you have anything that's directly reading?
Notice.
I think would be better.
Okay. Good, because that's better. That's a six.
She's lying about something. I'll say this, she is, what you're picking up on is pedantic. So, like, technically correct. The best kind of correct.
Right.
She has never...
Which is a vibe I got about what she was specifically saying. Like, she hasn't gone to a moon base like this or something like that.
What she said was, oh, I've never seen, I guess, a moon base out here, but, you know. She's being cagey about something.
Okay.
But you don't... It's not that she's specifically lying.
Right.
She has never been on a moon base.
Okay.
But you know.
Okay. Is this like another cult thing that you don't want to talk about, but worse?
Well, oh, you mean because you're wondering if I've been on moon bases before?
Yeah, you just seemed a little uncomfortable.
Cagey about it? Yeah, you know, a little bit, sure. So is this an interview? Like you're writing a lot of stuff down.
Oh, that's just what I do is I write things down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do those things ever then maybe get read aloud to other people who maybe have an interest in, I don't know, containing odd or dissonant members of a community, maybe a little bit?
No, I'm not.
Are you sure?
Reporting it to Mitchell. No.
Well, I honestly, Mitchell, like, okay, but, you know.
Do you want me not to tell Doc Marlin? I'm fine with keeping things from him.
Honestly, I think that vulture wouldn't mind. So, let me...
Is there somebody that you don't want me to talk to? I wasn't going to do an interview with Willow.
She kind of, like, looks confused and then looks to the side. She's obviously, like, weighing her words.
Can I do a roll? If I do a roll to, like, convince her to talk to me, is that helpful or is that not relevant here?
I think you could do that.
I have skills that would help this. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's fine.
I'm going to do genuine. We'll see if that actually helps. It's not a very high skill. It's a zero.
She looks at you and goes, okay, so it's not an interview. You just like writing down things that other people say. I get it. Sometimes I say interesting things. It's fine. I understand that. So
I just like puzzling things out for myself.
I get it.
Solving mysteries.
I get it, right? Here's the issue. Do you know how sometimes... Like, look at this, for example, right? We're on a weird bug colony that clearly neither of us know a great deal about. It's an unknown, and that's potentially dangerous, right?
Right.
Now, maybe you learn about the unknown, and you decide, hey, it's not dangerous, right? But then maybe you learn about the unknown, and you decide, hey, it's dangerous. So, as a result, I am sometimes cagey about certain aspects of my life, because shockingly, they haven't all been on the up and up, especially when people are writing them down.
That's fair. Is that
but
something?
I have never been to a moon base. I don't know anything about that specific moon base, but again, you see a lot of weird things out in the wilds, and we just can't quite explain them.
So, is that something that we should be kg amount?
I don't know. I actually don't know exactly how everyone in Smoky Banks would react to the absolute knowledge of everything that is in the wilds.
Fair.
It is. I think it is a fair question. Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Yeah, have you talked to a lady made out of leaves?
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
Okay. What did she say to you? I guess the answer is yes. Sorry. Yes?
Yeah, the answer is yes. Let me ask you one more thing. Are you certain that she's your friend?
No.
Me either. I'm definitely not. But I will say, from my times in the wilds, yes, I have learned to be a bit cagey about what information I tell to who all of the time. Because sometimes you meet a creepy lady made out of leaves, and usually my thought is, okay, so she developed a way to make her skin look like leaves, the leaf cloak, it's something, okay, right, so it's the joke about the knife that I threw and then pulled back to my hand, that wasn't magic, yeah, I was being silly, right? Yeah, but she, I think, is magic, and that freaks me out, so I don't really know what to tell other people about that.
I don't know what to tell other people about her either. That is something I haven't been able to unravel.
I think what it is, too, for me, is you gotta understand, I'm trying not to make Smoky Banks totally reject me altogether, because, all things considered, it's a nice place to live, and for right now, I don't want to not live there. So, kind of can't get kicked out of Smoky Banks, because then I have to find another Smoky Banks. And that's not as much fun as it seems like it is.
I'm not too, come on, too strong, but it might help if you didn't steal things? Why do you need to steal things?
I haven't stolen anything from anyone in Smoky Banks.
Okay.
I had to come to Smoky Banks because I stole things in the past. And also because I'm good at it, all right? There. Because I am good at it. Why don't you stop doing biology? You might get hurt doing biology, right? Look at you. You're in danger right now. Why don't you just stop doing it?
Well, I don't think it's harming people, is it?
Do you think that I stole from people and then hurt them? I just stole things.
Well, what if they need... I just don't understand what the necessity is.
Of stealing things?
You have everything you need in the community. You work in the gardens.
Yeah, in Smoky Banks I do.
It doesn't...
Check this out. I have not stolen anything in Smoky Banks. I have not always lived in Smoky Banks. That's why I don't want to leave there.
Well, I haven't always lived in Smoky Banks either.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a need to steal things in the Symbiherbs. It was just there.
Well, that's nice that you lived in Symbiherbs. I'm very glad. I like living in a Symbiherb. It's why I don't exactly want to leave Smoky Banks and why I'm not super thrilled on the notion of people finding out all of the worst things about me.
So, I guess, where did you live that you didn't have everything provided for you?
You know, in that, like, list of things that potentially creates an issue. That's maybe on that list of things that potentially creates an issue.
Oh, sorry, I guess.
Not offended that you asked, I just am also not necessarily going to tell you.
That's fair.
Because the thing is, I just met you, like, 2 days ago. Well, I guess I met you, like, 2 weeks ago, and you guys attacked a giant murder dog. And then you saved kids, which is points in your favor. And then I did kind of, and I'm still not wholly convinced, you're not here to kind of arrest me. I'm not certain that that's not what's happening.
I have no interest in arresting you.
See, that's typically what people say prior to arresting you.
Well, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm going to.
Again, do you see how this is what you would say? If you were...
I see. I don't know how to convince you that I'm not going to.
Time, of course. Time.
All right. I won't arrest you.
Just keep not doing that.
I'll continue not arresting you. I don't think it would go very well anyway.
No, but I get what you're trying to get at here, right? I did not always live in Smoky Banks. And yes, I have seen many and many weird things out in the wilds. What I did before that is tricky to explain. For now, I'm perfectly comfortable with everyone in Smoky Banks not knowing that.
Well, I we can leave it at that. And maybe I can share notes about things in the future. And that will make it easier to share notes with me. We can have a scientific collaboration.
She chuckles and goes, yep, probably, yep. And she kind of like sighs and looks down and goes, scientific collaborations have sometimes been weird for me. We'll see how it goes. I think the only person who's left is Mandy.
Estelle.
All right, let's keep it short and sweet. I'm sitting in the market. I'm listening to other bugs.
Oh, right, right. You wanted to try to observe. Oh, you wanted to try to like get a notion of like sound patterns, right?
Yes.
Okay, roll me a dice.
Go for my usual animal handling?
Yes, definitely.
6.
That's really good. Yep, that's a lot of information you get to learn. Okay, so...
Stella's amazing.
Love me some animals.
You took pictures of the Great Strider and kind of got a sense of, like, the organ that it uses for some kind of communication, right, that is damaged. The similar things do not exist on the crickets, right?
Yeah.
But... I shouldn't say similar. Similar things do, but they're not the same, right? Like, where they're positioned on the body, their exact shape is different. But the actual mechanism of things rubbing together to make some kind of vibration is the same. And I would say the other thing that you pick out from this is that as you just sit and watch, right, you just passively observe this city, it's easy to look around and go, there's really only a few types of bugs, right? There's, like, the upright crickets that say they're part of the great nymphic order, right? There are builder beetles. You've seen a few flying insects as well. But the longer you look and pay attention, the more you see a huge variety of these insects, right? And you're able to like pick out different species. So like these are not necessarily directly related to each other. There might be some common ancestry and evolution, but that has long since passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all communicate in a similar way, though. Like somehow it's a pretty complicated society. Very different insects that all do interact with each other. Like, this is itself, like, you're seeing agriculture happen here, right? Like, they harvest plants that are dropped off by the Great Strider. Those are fed to other insects that are used as livestock that are then eaten by other ones. And all of that happens with some forms of communication at a really wide range, you know? So you could see the equivalent of, like, very basic, just, like, warning signals or signals for need, all the way up to full conversations happening. So what that gives you, though, is the notion that probably some of these patterns are repeatable, right? Mm-hmm. So like that basic map that you got of the inflections is true for almost all of these things. And then you're able to maybe pick out some melodies that you hear on occasion. Something even just as simple as two builder beetles walking towards each other and they're just going to run into each other, you might hear a similar melody of like question, reply, and then they divert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And walk away from each other. And you start picking up on melodies that almost could be very basic commands beyond just question answer into like demand answer or like assertions of which thing is more important. So like hierarchies of need, you know, like things like this, you can start to pick up on like more complicated notions getting across.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of like making notes on those. And you do see those repeated amongst different species of insects that all live here together.
Okay. Estelle has as much of that noted down as possible. I think she can probably pick out notes via the kalimba and...
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe you could even do some experiments where you like just like walk straight towards a builder beetle and then like play a certain melody on the kalimba and it just like walks away.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like exactly what she would be doing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anyone else got anything else that they want to do?
Nope.
Coo coo coo. Then this is kind of up to you. How do you guys want to get all the way back to Smoky Banks?
Giant fireflies.
Okay, what do you want to try to offer in trade?
Estelle is going to offer her water bottle. And if that's not enough to get her and Guffy, she's also going to offer her Kalimba.
Ooh. For the, like, a giant firefly to fly you back?
Why?
Yeah, because it's metal. It doesn't specifically have any sentimental value to her other than, like, it was just the one that she learned on. But I don't have a whole lot of specifically, like, a lot of things I can hand off. And we have Teddy now to at least communicate. She'll probably get another one when we get back or, like, find a way to construct a Kalimba. But they seem interested in it, and that could maybe buy us more than, like, one, is my thought.
Okay. Anyone else got anything they want to try to pitch in here?
Juliet was going to...
Do we all need to pitch in something?
Do we all need to, do we all need to buy fireflies? Or, like, how do you want us to pay for this?
Okay, so there's, like, my GM brain right now that goes, make everything fair. Everyone has to pay for something. But then there's, like, the reality of how I would imagine this actually going down, and my answer would be, like, that Kalimba would probably actually be really cool and enough, but I don't want to just, like, punish Estelle.
I wouldn't consider it punishment, but I would say if other... Estelle probably is going to take a back seat on some of the other stuff in the future. Like, she's got the things that they're interested in right now.
Okay, okay. As long as that's fine and no one's, like, getting their feelings hurt that the Kalimba is, like, enough for you guys to buy passage, basically.
No, if y'all want to, like, quote, pitch in for her to get another one, that's cool. Like, I'll totally count that as, like, we're good.
That sounds good.
I'm cool with that. I'm sure your mom would love hearing that you lost your Kalimba, and she'd be like, oh, you were using it. I can get you another one. The play is on next Friday. We'll see you then.
Yeah, I'll probably have to do some favors for that one, but...
Well, we can all help you with that.
Estelle, if you want, like, I can ask her for a Kalimba. She doesn't know if I have any talent.
I don't mind asking her. It's not the end of the world.
I mean, Matthew has told me that it's going to be all day if you go there, so I understand if you don't.
I already have to do that regardless, because I'm supposed to spend at least one night a week when I'm in town, so...
So you hand the Kalimba over to Teddy with, like, the request of, you know, getting you guys passage on some kind of flying insect, and Teddy takes the Kalimba, and he kind of starts playing with it and just goes... I would like one of these at some point.
Yeah, we can probably do that.
I'm pretty sure we can make that happen. Again, probably a lot of favors on my end.
I would pay for it handsomely. And he, like, scurries off and he talks to another of, like, the cricket that looks very similar to him, right? So, like, similar size and coloring. He comes back a few moments later and goes, we have one of the great wasps. They fly quite quickly and are... very robust in a diverse array of challenging environments. So if we are attacked, I believe we will be fine.
Actually, that's probably a good idea. I forget. Zach forgot giant birds exist in this society.
That's true.
Like, the firefly is cute and fun, but I'm like, no, actually having a predator fly us back seems smarter.
Yeah, we'll just have him land, you know, a little ways away from town.
All right, is there anything you guys want to do before there's a bit of a montage here?
Montage us.
Okay, so you all are led down into this kind of very tight, cramped area, right? The nest for these great wasps is way smaller than you would expect it to be, because they do not need a lot of wiggle room while they are nesting. Like, they basically wedge themselves into a plot as big as them, right? So all of you are led up and you basically crawl onto the back of a giant wasp, right? Inside of a very narrow tunnel. And there's a little bit of a cavity where, like, its abdomen meets the rest of its body. And that's where you can kind of tuck yourselves in, and Teddy kind of shows you how to, like, grab and where and, like, how to plant yourselves. And then Teddy, like, scrapes his feet together, changes the color patterning on his face, and then you feel this vibration start, right, that moves through this whole thing, and a thumping sound as the wings begin to beat, and you shakily make your way out of this tunnel and then out into the storm. And there's a brief moment where you're hit with a huge amount of water, right? Like, you're getting drenched as water pours down on you. And then you break through the clouds at this point incredibly high up and start buzzing your way back towards Smoky Banks in the darkness. You can see the storm swirling around the Great Strider beneath you, like you're maybe only, you're not that far above it, right? But you are above that cloud bank as it flies its way towards and then starts to drop down over the lip of the storm and flies out over the wilds that you can actually like see the trailing devastation of the Great Strider as it flies. Is there anything that you guys want to do well on board? Yes.
When we look up, what do we see? And what does Teti see? And is it alarming to him?
Gotcha. Sometimes I think of things.
You said we were out of the cloud bank.
I did.
Retcon, we're not out of the cloud bank. We're ending.
No, I'm not gonna do that. So you fly above, right, the cloud bank, and you said you wanted to look up and see what you see in the sky. And when you do, you look up and there's a brief, like, horrible lurching vertigo as you see a sky that is somewhat unfamiliar. And it's like a trick of the eye thing where, like, you look up and you're like, this just looks different. This just looks different. And then you feel a lurch as you drop across that cloud bank, right? So there's like a swirling storm around the Great Strider. You fly off of it, and when you pop below it, like I said, sense of vertigo as you're staring up at something that feels unfamiliar, like the movement's wrong, because you're still just seeing stars, right? And you're like trying to go like, where's the, you know, like imagine if you looked up and it was like the moon was just slightly in a different place. Things were just slightly not right. Like maybe you don't see the Big Dipper, and then there's a lurch and everything goes back to normal. And you just feel like you're flying over the like regular wilds.
What is Tati's reaction when we're over the regular wilds? Does it look normal to him?
Do you want to ask him that?
Yeah.
No, this looks really weird. Everything here looks so weird, just so unbelievably strange.
So you don't recognize any of these moons?
No, but I also frequently... Astronomy is not a huge part of what we do. Again, we very rarely see the sky. In fact, this is only the second time I have seen it.
Okay, that's fair.
But he points down and goes, all of that is wrong.
I mean, you just went here, right?
No, sorry, yes, we have been here for a short time, but this is all very different from what we would expect the ground to look like, the plant life to look like, the animal life to look like.
Oh, right, okay. I don't have anything else. He had kind of already told us that it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask a question, but I think in my head, Estelle really hates this high of heights. So I'll wait until we land, I guess.
Autumn was the opposite, where she's like being cramped in that space. She's like, I want to die. And then you get into heights and she's like, this is amazing.
I think it's specifically how high it is. You know what I mean? Like this is, you know, it's one thing to like, we climbed up like mountains and our feet were firmly on the ground and we were looking like, We climbed up after the Blighthound. This is like weird kind of weightlessness. There's no firmness in where our feet have been. And so this is just awful for Estelle.
So the rest of the flight passes relatively peacefully. It goes quick. This thing moves very fast. So maybe you spend a combined day on the back of this thing, all told. It's pretty cold. It's not super comfortable. But the further it gets away from the storm, the lower it drops, and you start getting into, like, less miserable winds. Because, like, you know, the higher up you are, it gets really cold. So, like, you drop down pretty quickly under the storm, and then closer and closer as you're just, like, now skimming over greenery. The multicolored flora that you're used to seeing towards Smoky Banks. Eventually, you do see it on the horizon, like, the glow of lights as you're approaching it, and then faster than you can imagine, you come in and land on, you start landing down towards the ruins. And again, there is like a sickening sense as you do, like it feels weird as you're like skimming down through the ruins. What?
As we're approaching the ruins, can I see Smoky Banks?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of eye movement there for a yes.
I was expecting more questions, but that's fine. Yes, you can see Smoky Banks.
And the ocean to the west?
make a perception check.
Zero.
So yeah, sort of you can. Like when you look at Smoky Banks, like way off on the edge of it, you can see a coastline.
Okay.
And then you drop below the trees into the ruins. There's again like that like weirdness of this thing that is dropping and flying through the ruins and feeling like a little bit queasy as you do. And then you thump in the middle of them as the wasp just kind of stands on its legs and you all slide off. So I'm guessing this is as far as you want me to be.
For right now, yeah. I think we need to go talk to several people and kind of let them know what's going on and hopefully bring some of them out to meet you.
All right. I will wait here with our friend. We have him for a certain amount of time, so he will leave eventually.
Did Maul come with us?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes. I probably should have been clear about that. Yes, Maul also came with you.
So she owes a Kalimba.
I have a Kalimba guy. Don't worry. I can definitely get you a Kalimba if you need a Kalimba.
Tetti perks up. Tetti's going to have Maul dance off with me.
Maybe someday.
So we're out in the ruins right now, right?
Yes. It's kind of up to you what you do next.
Is it nighttime still?
It is, yeah, let's say like you guys left at like early morning the day before, like really early morning, and now you're getting there at dusk the next day.
So we've been flying for 2 days.
No, you've been flying for like 12 hours.
For like
so
12 hours. Okay.
You like left at maybe 3 in the morning and you're getting here at 10 o'clock at night.
Got it. Okay.
Which is, I guess, like 18 hours.
I think we go find... Or do we just wait till tomorrow morning? I'm so tired.
I agree with that, actually.
Like, I think there's like leaves in my hair and I don't know if they're from the flight. And that's what like alarms me about it.
Yeah, let's wait until tomorrow to ruin Mitchell's day.
So Tetsi will be back tomorrow afternoon? Make yourself at home, I guess?
I don't want to... I'm starting to get that sometimes when you say things like that, maybe you don't know what they mean for me. When you say, make myself at home, do you mean literally start turning this into a living bug colony that I live in?
I think I'm saying make yourself a little bit more comfortable because you're going to be here for the foreseeable future.
All right.
I would not disturb the ruins.
Why don't I stay here with Tetti for the night? I'll make sure we're not disturbing anything. And then we'll meet up and find Mitchell and start talking to the Wild Watchers tomorrow morning.
Are you guys staying out in the ruins? Or are you guys going back in?
I can do that. That is what I'm offering.
I think I'll stay out here with you. It'd be a little weird if some of us came back to town without the others, and that if we ran into someone, that'd be some weird explaining. Maybe it's best if we just kind of camp the night out here and kind of come back in the morning.
No.
Okay. I mean, you do you.
Relatively, like, estimating, you know, like half a mile from my bed, I'm going to my bed.
Same. Yeah. I'm coming with you, Autumn.
Estelle, if you don't want to stay out here, we can show Tetti where to, like, he can be and tell him not to mess anything up for a while.
It's fine.
Okay.
I don't mind being out here. I can help him figure things out. Fred, if you want to hang out with me, that sounds great.
All right. So the two of you start walking back through the ruins. And it's weird because, like, you've kind of gotten used to a certain degree of strangeness, right? In the past few days, you've been living in a bug colony. You've met talking insects. And now you're just like back in the ruins that you've seen a bunch of times, walking towards a town that at this point is getting really familiar. This is regular eco-herb stuff, regular eco-herb smells. You can hear chattering. And as you get closer, it's like, yeah, you can hear like a lot of chattering. You know, it's like getting kind of loud. Like you can really hear, you know, like a voice. And then the closer you get, you are realizing like, oh, I hear like one very loud voice. And then you're like, oh, I hear like one very loud voice seeming like it's amplified. You're like, I think that's Willow. And you hear blasting through the speakers on the PA.
We've had reports of a giant flying insect making its way towards Smoky Banks. All volunteer responders, please make your way towards the ruins. Again, we have had reports of a giant flying insect flying its way towards Smoky Banks. This is not a joke. We have been assured that this is not just the people in the lighthouse seeing things again. Any volunteers, please make...
And that's just, like, playing on a loop. And as you, like, get to the foot of, like, the edge of the ruins, you see Sheriff Mitchell and Matthew, who is, like, kind of still limping in a sling, running up the hill towards you guys. And, like, as soon as Sheriff Mitchell sees you, he just goes, "One request. I had one request. Don't bring weird things back from the wilds."
Technically, not in town. We left it outside of town. Technically.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.